All right, John chapter 10, if you would, please. Last week we talked about how Christ mentioned in verse 25, he said, "I told you and ye believed not." And that was, of course, we understand that that was a negative thing, that they did not believe what he had told them was true. And today I want to focus on the positive. Amen. And in verse 42, it just simply says, "And many believed on him there." And last week was, "Ye believed not." This week is, "Many believed." Many believed. If you're there in John chapter 10, if you'd like to stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we do have in our presence today many that have believed. Amen. And for that is a positive thing. And we ought to take it as a positive thing. And as we move forward for Christ, it ought to just like shoot out of us that we've believed on him. And that's how our lives should be to others. We're going to read responsibly, you out loud with me on the even verses and myself on the odd verses here as we begin together in verse 22. "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple of in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, "John did no miracle, but all things that John spake of this man were true." And many believed on him there. As we look to these scriptures once again and we notice what Jesus is talking about and to whom he is speaking, we understand that there are two categories, don't we? Those that believe and those that believe not. And we've got to understand that this is where the world lies today. Gathered together here in this place, I'm looking around and I'm going to be pretty confident that most of the people in this room, if not all, that's a possibility, are believers. Those that have trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And as we begin today, I do hope that's the case. I do hope that it's all that are in this room are believers in Jesus Christ. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's where we're going to start as a foundation, if you will. If that's not you, today can be the day of salvation for you. You can come and know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can be born again, as Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. You can trust Jesus Christ. You can have salvation. Salvation is a tangible thing. And guess what? We don't have it later. We have it now. You understand that salvation is not something we get later on. Salvation is something that we either have or don't have. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Okay, there's two sides of the coin here. There's two groups of people. You either have the Son and you have life. What does that mean? It's tangible. You possess it when? Now, not later. Now. When we die, if we're saved, we go to heaven. If we're not saved, we don't go to heaven. It's that simple. So we have believed. In our text today, Jesus was speaking to some who had not believed. And then some followed him, and many believed on him there. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ and the Father, according to verse 30, are one. We know the Bible tells us there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. We believe in a triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And you understand that this is a truth that the Pharisees did not want to believe. Now, please understand, I said that carefully and on purpose. Could they have believed it? Should they have believed it? Yes. Did they believe it? No. Most of them did not. Some of them did, but some of them did not. That's a choice that man has. Did you know that you're not born into salvation? No, nobody's born into salvation. Just because, I'm this particular class, or I'm this particular, I was born in this kind, so, or I grew up in a Christian home. Well, that's wonderful. But you're not born into salvation that way. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, and guess what? It's a choice. Just like the alphabet people are not born that way. It's a choice. You know what life is? Life is full of choices. We get to choose whether or not we believe God's Word. We get to choose whether or not we believe God's Son. We get to choose whether or not we believe the account that God has given us of Himself and of His salvation. It's our choice. My question to you is, are you one of the many that have believed? And if you are one of the many that have believed, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? Are you just going to put it in your pocket and kind of hold on to it and say, you know what? This is my belief. I'm just going to love it. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm going to keep it. It's all mine. And that's what I'm going to do with it. Is that what we're supposed to do with our belief? No. No, we're supposed to share it with others. We're supposed to prove, if you will, that we believe by our actions, by our words, by our life, by our very being. Are we not supposed to be like Christ? Conform to His image? Accomplishing His work? He said, hey, even as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. What a powerful hymn that is. Have you all heard that one? So send I you. Great hymn. But God says that we are to accomplish this work as Jesus Christ accomplished this work. So as we think of this word believe, and we think about the positive aspect, I'm drawn to this passage of Scripture because we have eternal life. We shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, Jesus said. He said, my Father, which gave them me, in verse 29, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So as we think about these things about belief, first of all, we need to believe that salvation is sure. Salvation is sure. Now we're talking about these things. We have salvation. And we need to live like we have salvation. Now, how many of you understand the difference between boldness, right? Boldness, and being, stuck up or arrogant. You know, there's a difference between those two things, right? Did you know you can be bold and not be arrogant? Yeah. So, we're not to be arrogant about these things, flaunting, if you will, our salvation, saying, ha ha ha, I have salvation and you don't, right? We're not to be, oh, well, I have salvation, right? You don't emphasize that. We emphasize rather that the salvation is in Christ and we have it because of Him. Because that's our confidence, not our own flesh. You see, really that's the difference. Walking in the Spirit is boldness. Walking in the flesh is arrogance. That's what it is. No, we're to have boldness. We need to believe that salvation is sure. And you know what? I'm sure of salvation because of who is the one that's giving it to me and possessing it for me. You understand that He's the one that keeps me saved, not me. He's the shepherd of my soul. He is the shepherd. I'm just the sheep. And that's where my confidence lies. My confidence doesn't lie in myself or the other sheep of the pasture. My confidence lies in the shepherd. What does the Bible tell us about this confidence? He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. What does all that signify? Where's the focal point? It's on Christ. He says, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. We can believe that salvation is sure because we know the shepherd. We know the shepherd. He's our shepherd. We are His sheep, and we hear His voice. I'm not confident because I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. Can I tell you that right now? That's not where my confidence lies. It's not. I can tell you that of a truth. That's a certainty. My confidence is in this book. The Word of God. And it's to be rightly divided. And it's of no private interpretation. It means what it says. It says what it means. That's it. And God said it. That settles it. And we're done. We just dropped the microphone right there. Because there is nothing else to be said. I'm sure of salvation. Not because of what church I go to. But because of my Savior and His book that I have. We can be sure of it. Actually, this applies to everybody, really. How many of you can recognize the voice of your parents? Yeah. Even if they're not... Now, this pertains to the kids. Kids, I know that you pretend not to recognize the voice of your parents. Okay? Huh? Come on, nod your little heads up and down. You all do it. All you adults, we used to do it too. Huh? Yeah. But you know what? We know their voice, don't we? Yeah. Some of you on the phone, I don't even introduce myself anymore. Why? Because you recognize my voice. You know what? That's good. That's good. And for most of you, I recognize your voice. Now, if I ever ask them, maybe it's the phone company's fault and the signal has changed or something, but I'm pretty good at voices, you know, good at faces, bad at names, you know, just those. I even forget my own name sometimes, and then, you know, that's That's why boot camp was a blessing to me, because we stenciled our names into everything, and that way I could always remember what my name was. But we know His voice. Now, there's a difference between knowing His voice and actually listening to His voice. Because sometimes we pretend, right, that we don't hear His voice. But we can be sure of salvation because we know the Savior. We know the Shepherd. We know Him. He is our Shepherd. We do hear His voice. And I love what Jesus says about His sheep. They follow Me. Do we follow Him like we should? We ought to follow Him. Who else would you rather follow? Is there a better example? Is there a better leader? Is there a better shepherd than the Lord Jesus Christ to follow? No. We ought to follow Him. We need to believe that salvation is sure, and we show our belief by following Him. Jesus said, if you love Me, keep My commandments. Do we love the shepherd? Do we believe on Him as we should? In John chapter 1, it says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What more surety do you need? We're not born of the will of flesh. We're not born by the will of man. We are born of God. Does it get more sure than that? It doesn't get more sure than that. How about 1 John chapter 5? John chapter 10 and 1 John chapter 5 are the two most powerful assurance verses of salvation that are in the Scriptures. Why? Because it's a record that God wants us to be sure of. How many of you would like to have an employee that is unsure? Anybody in here ever been a boss before? You were the boss. Okay? Amen. Okay. How many of you love to have people under you working that are unsure? Does that give you a good feeling? No. What does a employer or a boss or someone in authority want to know of those that are under him? That they're competent? That they are sure? That they know what's going on. They know what to do. Being unsure gives us nightmares. Right? We're like, oh no. I'm not very confident about this. Do you think that's how God wants His people to live? Do you think that's how the shepherd wants His sheep to live? Being unsure? A nervous wreck? Full of anxiety and despair and, no, not at all. He wants us to be sure. In 1 John chapter 5, the Bible says this, this is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Where's your confidence lie today? It ought to be in the shepherd. It ought to be in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It ought to be in the record of the eternal Word of God. We can be sure that we have salvation. Jesus said, "These things are true. You have not believed them. I have told you these things, and you have not believed them." He asked the question in verse 32, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me?" Not only do we need to believe that salvation is sure, we need to believe that God is the Heavenly Father. He's the Heavenly Father. Do you understand that the Pharisees were questioning whether or not Jesus was God? He goes on and talks about these things. They say that for no good work stone we not, but for blasphemy, because that thou being a man makest thyself God. In our scriptures, we have many accounts of Jesus telling the Pharisees who He was. You know what they did? They didn't believe. They refused to believe. And because they did not believe Him, they did not believe God. You say, what do you mean? These are the Pharisees. These are the ones that had the Word of God. Yes, they did. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't believe the Father. They didn't believe the account of the Father. Throughout Scripture, God promised He would send His Son. Throughout Scripture, God promised a Savior, the Messiah. There are over 400 prophecies that Jesus Christ fulfilled. And guess who told the people about these prophecies? God did. And guess what people did He tell? His people. What did they have? They had the account. They had the record. As Jesus taught in the synagogues, what did He quote? The Scriptures. He quoted the prophecies. And He even said, hey, today these things are fulfilled right before your eyes. I'm the one. I'm the Son. My Father. He keeps saying, my Father, my Father, my Father. And they won't hear the account of the Father. How many of you remember over in Luke chapter 3? It's mentioned in all four Gospels, actually, this account of Jesus coming down to the river to be baptized of John. What was the gist of the message that all of these people heard? Because there, you know what? There was a voice that came from heaven. Okay? Now, you can believe if you want to that only Jesus heard these words. I don't see the point of that. Do you? Because you know what? If this was a private conversation as Jesus was coming up out of the water and the Spirit was descending like a dove and this voice came, I think He would have said, if it was a private conversation, "Son, well done. Good job. I'm pleased with you." Okay? But is that the wording of this phraseology that God used? It's not. The words that God used were as if He were speaking to a group of people. So who do you suppose heard these words from heaven as Jesus was being baptized? Let me read Luke's account of this to you today. It says, "Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon Him." Now, hello, a bodily shape. Who's going to see this? All the people. All the people that were there. And it says here that a voice came from heaven which said, "Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased." Now you understand that God is speaking these things, but who refused to listen to it? Pharisees, the people. They did not want to believe. They chose not to believe, but many did believe. Those that believed went forth and followed Christ. John passed off all his disciples to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they followed him. They believed in him. They believed the Father. Jesus prayed and was talking to his Father and about his disciples in John 17. He said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one. Even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." Isn't it enough to tell people, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life"? We need to believe the account of the Father. You know who did not want to believe the account of the Father? Those that were not the sheep of his pasture. He said, you don't hear my voice because you're not my sheep. He said, "I've said this unto you. I've told you the truth. And you do not believe. You believe not. You've chosen not to believe." He said, "Furthermore, it's written in your law these things." Didn't you find verse 34 curious? I found verse 34 curious. Look at verse 34. Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, ye are gods'? And if he called them gods, unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, 'Thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works that ye may know, and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him." They were not believing the account that God had given. I told you before, I found verse 34 curious. So I looked it up. When he talked about the law being written and said, "Ye are gods," he was speaking of a passage in Exodus. Let me read it to you here, what it says. In Exodus 22, verse 28, there's a various sundry of different laws that are given here. And this is one of them. It says, "Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people." Now that word gods in Exodus 22, verse 28, is a little g, gods. Okay? And in this particular passage of scripture, it's talking about those that sit in judgment over the people. That's the definition of that little word, gods. It's not talking about like a false god or an idol per se, but it's talking about these that are judges over the people. In Exodus 22 verse 9, it clarifies and says, "For all manner of trespasses, whether it be for ox, for ass, for sheep, for raiment, for any manner of lost thing, which another challengeth to be his, the cause of both parties shall come before the judges, and whom the judges shall condemn, he shall pay double unto his neighbor." So this whole passage of scripture is talking about these that are judges and rulers over the people. And that word revile means to reproach or treat with contemptuous language. So he said, do not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people. If you were curious whether or not God was contradictory, do you suppose he would tell people to treat with respect the gods if he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me? Okay? So we understand that's not the same meaning, is it? How many of you understand that words have different meanings? Yeah. So once again, we come to this quandary whether or not we should believe what the scriptures say. Well, I think we should. It's just kind of easy to look into it. And if, as you will, the Bible says rightly divide the word of truth. But what we're talking about, Jesus said, hey, you're not even listening. You're supposed to be experts in the law. The law was given, and there are people that teach and are given judgment over the people, and I don't have time to cover it, but in John 14 and other places, Jesus said, I'm the Son. He has given me judgment. I'm the authority, and you won't listen to me. He said, that's why he asked them, what works are you stoning me for? I am only doing the works of the Father. Folks, everything that Jesus did was according to the prophecy that God said of his Son that he would send into the world. He said, tell me how I've done any of these things wrong. Tell me what things I didn't accomplish according to what the Father said that I would accomplish. He said, I've accomplished them. And if I've accomplished them, then I'm of the Father. Do you see the logic here? Jesus is using deductive reasoning. He's telling these people, hey, put two and two together. The Father said I would do this. I have done this. Therefore, I'm the Son. And the Son and the Father are one. Hey, this all makes sense. He says, where have I broken the chain of reasoning? Where have I gone wrong? He said, why are you going to stone me for doing the very thing and fulfilling the very thing the Father said I would fulfill? He said, you all know the scriptures. It's written in your law. And he questions them. He says, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said I'm the Son of God? He said, if I do not the works of my Father, he says, believe me not. If I don't go from A to B to C to D, then don't believe me. He said, but I have gone from A to B to C to D. Believe what I'm telling you. It's that simple. We not only need to believe because of that, or to believe that salvation is sure and the account of the Father, we also need to believe the works. In Ephesians chapter 2, we're told that grace or salvation is by faith through grace. You understand that? We have salvation, but we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works that we should walk in them. Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself, because I want all of you to come back tonight, and I'm going to give credit to where credit due. Brother Losey guessed what my next title of my next message is going to be. Bravo, Brother Losey. Okay? I talked about keep walking two Sunday nights ago. Last Sunday night was keep watching, and tonight is keep working. Keep working. The works of God are the evidence of the things. The works of our Christian life are the evidence. No, we're not saved by works. We're saved unto good works. That we should walk in them. When I say I believe, what should I do? Live like I believe. Jesus said, I am the Son. So what's he going to do? The works that a son should do. If you're going to say you're a son, then honor the Father and do what he says. Why? He's the Father, and you're the Son. Hey, didn't I read something? That we're the sons of God, and we believed in His on His name? Are we not joint heirs with Jesus Christ? Are we not the sons of God? Are we not the sons? Are we not born into the family? He's the Father, we're the sons. So what are we supposed to do? Work. I have three boys. You know what I want my three boys to do? Work. You're a cruel father. No? Well, maybe sometimes. But I'm human. Heavenly Father's not human, right? No, I want them to work. You know that W-O-R-K is not a cuss word. Okay? I know this society. Who was I just talking to? One of you? I don't know who. Oh, Brother Parks. We were just talking about young people today not wanting to work. They want everything, but they don't want to work for it. That's not how it works. John chapter 6. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. When they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? They didn't get it, did they? You understand, folks, that our work as a Christian is to preach the word. To be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Our work is to be a witness. Going into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the world. Our job is to teach them all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Our job is to preach the gospel to every creature. Our job is to be a testimony. Our job is to be holy, holy, holy. We're supposed to be righteous. We're supposed to be a living testimony. We're supposed to be in love with our Savior. We're supposed to be in love with this book. We're supposed to do the works of Him that sent us. Was Jesus sideways on anything with God? No. So what's the work of a son? To be in tune with the Father. To be in line with the Father. What are you sideways with God on? Well, I just don't believe that's how it should be. I don't care how you think it's supposed to be. Sorry, sometimes I'm not Eric, I'm Frank. I got to throw a couple puns in there every once in a while. No, we've got to understand. It's not about us. It's about Him. And if we're going to believe, we need to believe the works. You know what people are going to do? They're going to believe the works. They're going to look at your life and say, you're not a Christian. They're going to look at my life and say, you're not a true believer. Or are they going to say you are? Because of how you live your life. Because of what you say, because of what you do, because of how you live. Guess what? No one could question that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. He even asked them, by what works are you going to stone me? What is it that I've done that is against anything that God has said? And of course, they tried to peg him on a few different things, didn't they? Right? Oh, you healed a man on the Sabbath. Well, He fixed that one, right? Oh, your disciples, they don't wash their hands before they eat. Oh, they're picking corn on the... Okay. Well, he had a field day debunking all those things, didn't he? But he took care of that But he said, hey, my works, you can't stone me for anything. But yet they still sought to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. As we go through our lives, we need to live life believing. Believing that salvation is sure, believing the account of the Father, and believing the works that he has sent us to do and to accomplish. Let me just ask you, can you be like Jesus and say to others, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. John chapter 4 tells us to abide in him. 14, sorry. To abide in him. Are we supposed to abide in the Lord? Yes. Are we supposed to be in him and him in us? Yes. We need to believe the works. In the end, the world had its way. Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers of the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those deeds, or those things whereof ye accuse him. Nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must be released unto us, released one unto them at the feast. And when they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city, and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. You understand this old world, the rulers of darkness that we wrestle against, it's not flesh and blood, are dead set on not believing. But you know what? We get to believe. And we get to live like we believe. That's our choice. And we can be like these that resorted unto Jesus in that place and believed on him there. Are you a believer today? Or are you still fighting against all the works, the account of the Father, the salvation that's been so freely given, and refusing to believe? If you have believed, are you living like you're believing each and every day?